If you change your mind, take a chance. I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down.
Velkommen til Welsh Premier League podcast. Which means welcome to the Welsh Premier League podcast in Swedish. In-depth research goes into this show and we're back analysing the European adventures of our four Welsh sides that played this week and looking ahead to how they'll do next week. Of course, two of them went to Sweden. We'll be looking at Bala and Llandudno's performances. And Alan Morgan joins me live from Gothenburg. We've put 50p in the satellite meter for him to join us from there. We'll be also hearing from Andy Morrison from Gap Connors Key after their fantastic 0-0 draw against Stabæk. Hope for the second leg when they go to Norway. And of course, champions TNS in Champions League qualification. They hosted the San Marinans. We'll be hearing from various players from TNS on that performance, but we'll also be hearing from the two San Marinan fans who joined us at Park Hall for the adventure. Very welcome they are too. We'll be analysing the next performances with Mark Jonah Jones. Think of us as the Benny and Bjorn of Swedish Welsh podcasting. So let's crack on, and what a performance it was for Connors Key Nomads. Their debut in the Europa League, drawing 0-0 at Rill to Stabæk, the Norwegian outfit. Let's hear from Andy Morrison after that game.
Yeah, we're still in the tie. That was our thoughts at the start of the game, was to stay in the game. When we got to half time, it was to make sure that we left here with nil. Because, that gives us a fantastic opportunity, and we've shown tonight that we will create chances against them. They're vulnerable at the back, and if we get a goal away from home, then for them to score two against us with the way we defended tonight will be very difficult. But we're not kidding ourselves. It's half time, and I can't help thinking at this moment that we may have missed a trick, because we should have our noses in front.
Definitely, you're talking about when Mike Wilde went through in the second half there, should have put it away maybe.
Yeah, Mike will be disappointed. The ball skidded under his feet and he just couldn't quite get it out. Mike scored a goal which was ruled offside, and we're told it was very, very close. Another one where he's outjumped the keeper and scored, and he's given a foul. And then George has had an unbelievable chance a yard off in the first half. And when you consider we've had four or five great opportunities and they've had a 30-yard shot that went over the top of the stand, and that's what they've done this game. It's just testament to the lads, their discipline and their ability to take on board what we what we're asking of them.
Yeah, it was excellent to see that they didn't really create anything. Like you say, they had one shot from 35 yards and John Danby barely had anything to do.
But the lads have got to take great credit. What we've got to do now is make sure we get the balance right between actually asking a question of them now and showing our hand a little bit more, and staying in the game and making sure we keep a clean sheet, because we go 1-0 down out there, we're capable of getting a goal, and if we get a goal, we're through. So a fantastic position to be in, where we're not looking at away goals. That's what the lads have done tonight, and it puts us in a great position.
And one recurring theme we'll talk about on this podcast is the reception that the Welsh teams have got when they've played abroad. And that was definitely in full flow in Sweden, where our two Welsh sides, Llandudno and Bala, were underway. Now, Bala lost, of course, by 2-0 against AIK. AIK scoring after the first 20 minutes. But the AIK fans gave Bala a standing ovation at the end of the game when they walked off. And there really is a camaraderie between all of these European sides. Also, of course, this absolutely bodes well for Bala. They are still within a shout, and you lot have got to get down to Rill to support them for that return leg next week. Well, I'm joined now by Alan Morgan, who, of course, led his side to play that historic first game at Gothenburg over the week and unfortunately lost 5-0, but still got a smile on his face. How are you, Alan?
Good, thank you. It was what an experience it was for the lads yesterday, and even in a tunnel before we went out on the pitch, it was just an experience that me and the lads will never forget. The score was 5-0, but it was... it wasn't a 5-0 game, that's for sure. We give them, I think, little silly mistakes, three goals. We give them three goals, really. But if you have a look at the minutes they scored, two goals in the 2 minutes in the first half and two goals in 2 minutes towards the end of the second half. But I can't ask more for lads. They gave me everything. And after, some of them couldn't give me any more. They were struggling to walk off a pitch.
So it wasn't a case of them being a little bit overawed by the occasion and place?
No, not at all. I think my lads took it all in. took it all in. There were just a little bit of mistakes. But sometimes in the Welsh Premier League and the Cymru Lions, where we were 2 years ago, you know, you'd have got away with it. But when you're playing IFK Gothenburg in their home patch, in their stadium, you know, they were clinical. They were clinical in front of goal. So that was a difference, really. And obviously, you know, they're such a big club.
I mean, you've talked a little bit about how it felt for you and the guys playing in such a venue and against such a team. When you were getting off that bus and standing in that tunnel, were you pinching yourself to a certain extent?
Yeah, you know, one of the lads did a tweet here yesterday morning. No disrespect to Llanrider, but he said three and a half years ago we were playing Llanrider away, and today we're playing IFK Gothenburg away in the Europa League. So it was just an unbelievable feeling. And, you know, even though it was 6,000 there, and, you know, and it was, they did some noise, and fair play to them, they clapped us off at the end.
Have they been good to you, the fans, Gothenburg fans?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I can't praise them enough, you know. Even they were even standing up and clapping out when we were doing substitutions, you know, off. And, you know, I can't speak highly of them. And the place Gothenburg and the club was just, you know, you can see that it's the biggest club in Scandinavia.
What do you think the one thing is that you've taken away from that game? Not necessarily just for the next game coming, but, you know, your desire to take Llandudno as far as you can take Llandudno.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, we had a chat at the end, you know, and half time, and even at the start of the game, I said, what do we want to do? I said, do you really want to taste this more often? I said, this is what you get for working hard, you know, and doing well in the season. This is the reward you get. And fair play to them. Everyone nod their heads, and they want more of it. So I said, you know, when we get back to the bread and butter and in a month's time, and that's what you know, our target will be, because lads now will be hungry for more. But they know it's going to be a very, very hard season, and we look forward to it.
And just some quick thoughts on the return leg coming up next week now. I mean, obviously, first off, to say to everybody in North Wales who's going to turn up into Bangor, give the Gothenburg players the welcome that you got from the Gothenburg fans.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we want to give them the same what they've given us. You know, they've been absolutely fantastic. And I was speaking to one of their players before we walked into the press conference. I said, would your manager, you know, would you be rested for next week? And he goes, no, I want to come to Wales. I want to play against you. Really enjoyed it today. And we, you know, we want to come and see how, where you play. So, which was a great thing on their behalf. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, we will do. We look to go to Bangor. Unfortunately, we can't play it at MSD. But that's what we're building for. You know, we've come a long, long way in 3.5 years. I've been at the club, and, you know, when we're still building.
Now, Morgs, you're just being a tourist for the day around Gothenburg now. What's the beer price like? That's what I want to know.
The lads would have told you it was quite an expensive night last night. You know, but, yeah, it's not too bad. If you go into the Irish bars, and, you know, you're looking for about £7-8 a pint. But
wow.
If you find a nice Swedish pubs, you can get it for about £4 to £5. But, you know, now, next week, now I'll be looking to go and beat them 6-0 next week to go through to the next round.
And then they'll definitely be celebrating. And to be fair, you won't begrudge buying the Gothenburg boys a few pints, because it'll only be about £2.50 in the clubhouse at Bangor, won't it?
I know, that'll be all right. But it was good yesterday, you know. We were, at the end of a game, their fans went over to our fans and invited them all into the supporters' bar, and they put 50 pints behind the bar for all the players, staff, management and the supporters. So, which was an absolute, you know, it was a great thing for us. But, you know, it'll be a bit cheaper for us next week, anyway.
Yeah, 50 pints will only cost you about £5. That's what football's about, isn't it? And let's hope they do bring a few thousand over, not only to obviously fill the Bangor Stadium, but also, you know, we do want them to see what we're like. We do want them to see what we can do, don't you?
Correct, you know, but that's what these European games, you know, a four, you know, is getting good contacts around Europe. You know, their staff, their management team made us feel welcome, invited us to a manager room after the game, and had a couple of drinks with him. So I'll have to find one after being a porter cab into Bangor or Maesteg to get my little office, but we'll make him welcome.
The manager's office at Bangor University Stadium is the students' union, third left behind the bar.
Yeah, so we'll have to get a little taxi to go there tomorrow on next Thursday.
This is the Davibet Welsh Premier League podcast, European edition no less, as we analyse the first qualifying round performances of our various club teams. Now, coming up, Jonah will talk to me about what these clubs have got to do in the second round to make it through. But first, let's talk about the champions, TNS, on home soil for their first qualifying round, first leg, against Trepenne from San Marino. They won 2-1. Let's hear from the manager.
It's always disappointing to concede from set plays, you know, and certainly after we'd just scored a goal, probably we'd been chipping away and we'd just scored that goal and to settle everyone in, you know, and then they go up and score, which I think the important thing was, though, that the reaction from our players, you know, we didn't get frustrated, we didn't get on each other's back, we didn't, you know, we encouraged, we got on with it, we kept moving the ball in, and like I said, chances we created then, you know, were lots and lots. It's just finishing them off. And on another day, which the other day will be Tuesday, then I think if we play like that, we'll be fine.
And let's hear from two fans who came a long way for this game. I hope they were treated well at Park Hall. I'm sure they were. They were mobbed by TNS Radio, no less. Dragged into the commentary box to earn their crust and to speak about their journey all the way supporting their team from Trepenne all the way to Oswestry to watch the game. Let's hear what they've got to say.
We are happy. We are happy because we scored.
Yeah, we're happy. Really happy.
And of course, you came to the New Saints with TNS strong favourites this evening.
Yeah.
So with just the one goal in it, do you think that next week on home turf that you have a chance to win this tie?
Yeah. In the year Leicester won the Premier League, it is not impossible to dream.
Well, I think it's fantastic that the two of you have come all the way over to watch this game. Yeah. You are real fans.
Yeah, I missed only eight games since 2011.
And there are many more interesting parts of that interview. And if you want to hear the full interview, it's going to be on the TNS Radio podcast very shortly. Keep your ears out for that through the TNS website or through iTunes. So, Mark Jonah-Jones joins me. We haven't spoken for a while. Jonah, you're not in Gothenburg with the Llandudno boys having an £8 pint of beer, are you?
No, I would have liked to have gone to Gothenburg, Mark, but I can't afford the type of money at them prices. I have to have a job like yours if I have to go there.
Or a Llandudno budget. They've obviously got money if they can afford £8 on a pint of beer.
£8 a pint. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Anyway, let's move on. Let's start with TNS first. So, they won 2-1. But of course, the San Marinans got an away goal. Does that make it harder or easier now for the second leg?
Well, obviously, Mark, the away goal will give the team from San Marino a bit of confidence, and it'll make it harder for the lads for TNS to progress. But by all accounts, I spoke to a couple of the people involved on Tuesday evening. They should have got more goals. The San Marino goalkeeper was excellent on the night. And I still think they're pretty confident of going through. But, you know, this now turns into an absolute... It's a crunch game now. You know, you're talking a £200,000 game. They got a one-goal lead. They've done it before, so their heads will be right. They know the situation. They're experienced in the Champions League. And I think this will be key now. You know, their experience from previous years in the earlier rounds will be key in the away leg.
It's just a simple case of keeping the back door shut and getting a goal, isn't it? That's all you need to do, really. Keep it simple.
Well, yeah, well, you know, people like TNS, I suppose it'd be strange for them because they're never used to keeping the back door shut, TNS, are they? And hitting people on the break. It's usually the other way around where people are doing that to them. But they have players with pace. You know, they have players like, you know, Mullen, Quigley with pace who might enjoy teams coming at them. They have the, you know, superb passes of the ball like Alan Edwards and Sargent and... perhaps they'll enjoy the San Marinians coming on to them. And, one goal, I think they need to get one goal out there and that could be enough.
Well, look, the result out of all the clubs, in my view, has to be Nomads at home at Rhyl, 0-0 draw, highly defensive. Do you think that was the strategy for Andy Morrison? It was shut the door, don't let anything through, we'll go over there and we'll get an away goal?
Well, you know, Andy Morrison has gone in, and don't forget, this is in the Europa League. Right? Whatever anybody else thinks about our standard of football, they're playing a team from Norway. It's the first time Connors Quay have ever played in the Europa League. And to get a draw on their first performance is absolutely, you know, fantastic. They're 0-0. If they go away, we all know the rules. If they go away now and get one, the other team has to get two. So, you know, we heard Morrison in the interview before the first game. He's keen on his set plays. You know, they're almost like Iceland on their set plays. And they can hurt anybody, Gap Connors Quay, on corners and long throws. So, you know, I'm sure that'll be a strategy to hold out again and nick the away goal, which would be unbelievable. If they were to progress in their first year, that'd be absolutely brilliant.
Is it any surprise that they've played very well in that first leg? I mean, you're talking about Andy Morrison. He'll probably shoot us for trying to build him up here, but the boy has played at top level of English football. He knows what to do. He's got a reputation of not letting anything through. So, of all the clubs, arguably, do they have a manager who is used to those big games and he's impressed that mentality on them?
Well, obviously, you know, he's played in big games for Manchester City. By the way, Mark, he has some memory, that boy, as well. I spoke to him to wish him all the best before the game, and he's still having a go at me for tipping Airbus to win the playoffs.
So, he's got your rumble.
Talking about leaving no stone unturned, eh? But, he's obviously, you know, I watched them when they celebrated their playoff win, and they do look a tight group. I know the words tight group are going around at the moment, and it's fashionable in the game, and it's great to see. But, He knows, Andy Morrison knows, that a couple of European victories and another couple of successful years for himself and his club could lead on to bigger and better things as a manager.
And finally, let's talk Ballot and Llandudno. Let's take them in reverse order, actually. Look, shipping five goals isn't the best, but Llandudno have had a whale of a time. We mustn't forget where they've come from, but it's quite clear from speaking to the guys down at Llandudno that really they want to be in this Europa League forever and ever, amen. So, you know, that experience has been probably back down to the first time you experienced Europa League football, Jonah. It really opens your eyes to possibilities, doesn't it?
Mark, there's some games, you know, when you go into the Europa League, like, you know, I can remember we played Copenhagen. We got beat 2-0 twice, right? Did we have a chance? You know, it was a miraculous result, but realistically, we didn't have the chance. But the experience of that group of men who went to Copenhagen and played them at home, and the experience the Llandudno players will have from going to Gothenburg and playing them at home, they'll remember for the rest of their lives, mate. And don't forget, like you said, it's Llandudno's first time in Europe, right? Who's to say if this league doesn't progress the way it has been the last couple of years, they'll be taking on the Gothenburgs in 5 to 10 years' time and getting nil-nils, such as the other clubs have done.
Now, moving on to Bala. OK, they've let in 2 goals. They were also applauded off the pitch by the Swedish fans as well. But this is still winnable, this one, isn't it?
I'm not rolling back the years, but we went to Longford with Carmarthen 10 years ago and we were 2-0 down from the first leg. And most people thought we were well beaten in the first leg and counted us out. We won the second leg 5-1. So all I'm saying to Caton and all I'm saying to all the lads at Bala, you can definitely turn a 2-0 around, mate. Definitely turn a 2-0 around. You make it more, maybe a little bit more hostile at home, as hostile as you can. And, you know, sometimes you can put a few, might get away with a few fiercer off, more physical challenges at home than you will away. And you get, you know, you really have a go at it. This tie is not over. It wouldn't surprise me to see Bala make it, you know, turn it around. I'd love to see it happen because we really do need, a Welsh club to go through for the progress of our league. And Bala and the Nomads and TNS, who knows, you know, it was a dark night in a way that, you know, we didn't score a goal the other night. But if we can pop a couple of goals in a week later, we might have 3 clubs through next week.
Well, here's hoping miracles do happen. Jonah, thanks for joining us on the podcast. And we'll be talking in about 7 days' time on the results and we'll soon see who's through on that.
brought to you by Audioboom.